Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
I do hope your Thursday is going beautifully so far. It's Thursday, March 23rd, 2023. Thanks for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. It's a Thursday and a new segment we started recently, Cultural Connections, with the one, the only, Mitch Pacwa, Father Mitch Pacwa, from EWTN Radio TV. He's also a noted scripture scholar, author, and speaker. Today, we are going to take a closer look at this powerful document that was released earlier this week by the bishops regarding this transgender ideology and specifically how it's impacting the medical community. And this is done to support Catholics in the medical community who are trying to avoid being involved in these mutilating surgeries and these issues regarding this topic of transgender ideology. But I also think it's a very, very important reminder for us that we need to understand why God teaches what he teaches and gives us the dignity of the human person. What does it mean to be male and female? And the document reviews this quite clearly. And it's a quick read. I highly would recommend grabbing a copy of it and maybe taking it to adoration. Because when you read this and when you reflect upon the church teachings, you understand, you help yourself connect the dots. And then also when you get into a discussion with someone else about this, who's accusing the church of being backward and mean and limiting and oppressive and not understanding the trials of various people or being sympathetic, that is not the case. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. I talked about this in the first hour of my program on my Tease Two Cents segment, looking at the Gospel of John today, where Jesus is telling us, I'm doing this so I may save you. Father John Ricardo says we have to stop looking at God as some mean ogre in the sky trying to squash our fun and realize what he gives us. And that's true happiness and fulfillment if we say the big yes and surrender, Dorothy, to the Lord. I'm going to actually be talking about this weekend in detail at the Eucharistic Conference for the Diocese of Venice, Florida. I fly down tomorrow after the show, and it's sold out. I'm so excited. I think that's awesome. 1,400-plus people are going to be there in Fort Myers for this conference. I have two presentations. The first one is on my Eucharistic rediscovery, and the second talk is Embracing Our Royal Heritage, Becoming Daughters of the King by Way of the Eucharist. And it all begins, as I say in both talks, with surrender, with saying yes, a full yes to God. We'll talk about that with Father Mitch Pacwa, and then after the two segments with Father Mitch, we'll continue the discussion and what this means for the medical community, this beautiful document, with our friend Lewis Brown, Executive Director of the, of course, CMF, Christ Medicus Foundation, and what his reaction to this as well. So that is the show for today. As they say in the biz, let's take a look at the weather. This bizarre tornado, a very rare tornado, hit Los Angeles yesterday, and it caused a lot of damage. We'll have an update on that, but let's take a look at the forecast and see what's happening, because we are going to have other parts of the country now that are affected by the weather. As a matter of fact, if my computer would cooperate, we're seeing the fact that there's going to be some snow in other parts of the country, including parts of Oklahoma. So here we go. Here is a quick summary. A nearly stationary frontal boundary. Why can't they use simple language? Will bring potential for heavy rainfall and flash flooding from Oklahoma into the Ohio River Valley over the next few days. Severe weather expected also for parts of the Southern Plains and the lower Mississippi River Valley today and tomorrow, with threats of tornadoes, strong winds and hail, and snow expected for parts of the Cascades and the Northern Rockies. So there you have it, your weather forecast, keeping you up to date on all things weather and, of course, all things church, right? That's what we do here at Catholic Connection. Let's get started with the news. Already 4 minutes past the hour, you are listening to EWTN. The man accused of murdering Los Angeles Auxiliary Bishop David O'Connell is pleading not guilty. Carlos Medina remaining behind bars in lieu of more than $2 million bail. His next appearance at the downtown L.A. courthouse set to take place in May. The 61-year-old suspect accused of shooting Bishop Dave to death in his home last month. His wife was the victim's housekeeper. A coalition of conservative organizations taking legal action to obtain documents from the Department of Justice related to the surge in pro-abortion attacks on churches and pro-life pregnancy centers and the lack of prosecution from the agency. The full report on CatholicNewsAgency.com, based on data, meanwhile, compiled by CNA, there have been more than 100 attacks on churches and pro-life pregnancy centers since the May 2022 leak of the High Court's decision in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, which overturned the abortion protections guaranteed in Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. CNA reporting the DOJ failed to prosecute the perpetrators in nearly all of the attacks. In a lawsuit led by the Heritage Foundation and Advancing American Freedom is accusing the government of failing to provide them with documents requested through the Freedom of Information Act. In other religious news this morning, during the general audience yesterday, the Holy Father making an appeal concerning the war in Ukraine. As Christopher Wells reports from the Vatican, the Holy Father recalling his consecration of Ukraine and Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary almost a year ago, calling on believers everywhere to renew that act of consecration this March 25th, the Feast of the Annunciation.
My thoughts, he said, go to the 25th of March last year, when in union with all the bishops of the world, I consecrated the Church and humanity, especially Russia and Ukraine, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. He continued, let us not tire of consecrating the cause of peace to the Queen of Peace.
Non stanchiamoci di affidare la causa della pace alla Regina della Pace.
And added, I'd like to invite every believer and community, especially prayer groups, to renew the act of consecration to Our Lady every 25th of March, so that she, who is a mother, might preserve us all in unity and peace. The Pope then recalled tormented Ukraine, as he has at almost every general audience since the outbreak of the war.
E non dimentichiamo questi giorni la martoriata Ucraina che soffre tanto.
And he urged his listeners never to forget the country, which he said is suffering very greatly. The Holy Father's initial consecration of Russia and Ukraine to Mary's Immaculate Heart in March of last year was a response, he said, to the war between the two countries. This is no magical formula, he explained at the time, but a spiritual act. It is an act of complete trust on the part of children who, amid the tribulation of this cruel and senseless war that threatens our world, turn to their mother, reposing all their fears and pain in her heart and abandoning themselves to her. I'm Christopher Wells.
The U.S. House preparing to debate a new Parents' Bill of Rights in Washington. According to Catholic Vote, the Parental Bill of Rights would enshrine concrete legal protections that, quote, ensure parents always have a seat at the table when it comes to their child's education, end quote. According to the House Committee on Education and Workforce, the measure states parents have a God-given right to make decisions for their children and establish five common sense principles. Parents have the right to know what their children are being taught, have the right to be heard, have the right to see the school budget, have the right to protect their children's privacy, and the right to keep their children safe. Officials are confirming the suspect in yesterday's school shooting at East High School in Denver had a safety plan already assessed to him. Denver Police Chief Ron Thomas revealing the situation to the public in the city's initial press conference.
This particular student actually had a safety plan that was in place where they were to be searched at the beginning of the school day every day. They had been searched previously to today and had never had a weapon on them before.
17-year-old East High student Austin Lyle accused of shooting and injuring two deans. Denver Public Schools Superintendent Dr. Alex Marrero says safety plans are common around the nation, usually qualifying again from past incidents.
It's very nuanced and it's particular, they're individuals, so it's based on past behavior, and that's as far as I can feel comfortable saying. So it's as a result of previous behavior.
However, yesterday, school administrators were conducting the daily pat-down of the suspect at the front office when he produced a handgun. The deans identified as Gerald Mason and Eric Sinclair were taken to a local hospital, Sinclair making it through surgery, remaining in serious condition. Mason is out of the hospital and recovering. Lisa Taylor tells us the Flint, Michigan water crisis settlement has been formally approved by a judge, and residents in the state are one step closer to receiving compensation.
The $626 million agreement with the state of Michigan, the city of Flint, McLaren Regional Medical Center, and a private engineering firm was approved Monday. 80% of the money will go to the people who were minors when exposed to contaminated water in Flint. Another 18% will go toward adult claims and property damage claims.
The CEO of TikTok addressing Congress today regarding national security concerns over the popular video app. CEO Shou Chew expected to tell members of the House Energy and Commerce Committee the app is safe for minors and that a nationwide ban could hurt the economy. Daniel Martindale talks about this tornado we mentioned earlier. At least one person is hurt after a rare tornado ripping through Montebello, California, outside Los Angeles.
This high school student was in class when the tornado hit.
All of a sudden, we opened the door a little bit, and then we just see like a gust of wind starting to build up, and then it just like got faster and faster.
The National Weather Service confirms the tornado touched down just after 11 o'clock Wednesday morning Pacific time. 17 structures were damaged, roofs were ripped off, several industrial buildings, fences were knocked down, and a number of vehicles were damaged. The tornado stayed on the ground for 2 to 3 minutes and had a maximum wind speed of 110 miles per hour.
Today, the third and final day of the LA Unified School District employee strike, meaning children will go back to school tomorrow. The strike will end as planned, but without a new contract or settlement between the district and Local 99 SEIU, which actually called for the walkout. The support employees, such as bus drivers, cafeteria workers, and special ed assistants, want a 30% pay raise. United Teachers LA members striking with them in solidarity and want a 20% raise during the next 2 years. Talks have resumed between union and district reps. The mayor of Los Angeles now mediating those negotiations. Reporter Tom Costello explains interest rates going up yet again. The Fed's Reserve's latest rate hike was a quarter of a percentage point.
The Fed was reluctant to raise rates more after three bank failures in recent weeks. Higher interest rates over the past year were a contributing factor to Silicon Valley Bank's collapse after it took a big loss on bond sales.
Wednesday's increase comes as the Fed tries to get a hold of inflation that has not been seen in decades. And management at Silicon Valley Bank failed badly.
They grew the bank very quickly. They exposed the bank to significant liquidity risk and interest rate risk. Didn't hedge that risk.
That's what Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell told reporters when speaking on the bank's recent collapse. He said there's no reason to believe the problems that led to SVB's downfall are systemic, calling it an outlier. His remarks came after the Fed raised interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point in order to get a hold on inflation. And if you received unemployment benefits in 2022, that money will be subject to income taxes. CPA Brian Kotek says the IRS treats your unemployment payments like any other regular income, and you must include that income on your tax returns.
The government views it the same as any other income that you get if you were a W-2 earner or had any other forms of income. They still want their chunk of your taxes.
How much you'll pay at the state level, if anything at all, depends on where you live. He says it's a very good idea to have taxes withheld from your weekly benefits, but you must opt in when you apply for unemployment. It may cover your taxes or at least ensure you're not faced with a potentially huge bill at tax time. And if you can't afford to pay the tax due, you can request an installment agreement from the IRS. You should also check with your accountant to see how unemployment benefits may impact other tax benefits, such as tax credits. And finally, in our news segment, at almost 14 minutes past the hour on a busy Thursday morning, March 23rd, a Good Samaritan rescuing a driver who crashed into Baltimore's Inner Harbor. The vehicle goes into the water shortly after 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and this woman witnessed the entire thing.
I say, oh my goodness, a man in a car in the water. So one man saved him. He busted the front glass with his elbow. I don't know what it was. I think it was his elbow. So he got him out.
The man who pulled the driver from the car is a sous chef at Phillips Seafood Restaurant. Both the chef and the driver suffering just minor injuries and were taken to the hospital. The car was then pulled from the harbor a few hours later. It is a Thursday morning. Hope you're having a great Thursday today as we move quickly through the season of Lent. It is March 23rd, and since it's a Thursday, it means time for Cultural Connections with the one, the only, Father Mitch. Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN. Today, we're taking a look at the document from the bishops regarding transgender ideology and the surgeries and the pressures being faced by the Catholic medical community. We will discuss up next.
Faith is a precious gift from God. As the largest religious media network in the world, EWTN has an important role in educating others about our Catholic faith and spreading the good news of salvation. We invite you to explore our numerous pages of historical faith documents, prayers, teachings, and other current issues in Catholicism today. visit EWTN.com and click Catholicism. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Steve Ray here with a Holy Land pilgrimage update. Israel's now open again and has removed all vaccine requirements. Our brand new buses and Catholic guide are ready to welcome you. Check out our upcoming pilgrimages to the biblical lands of Israel and Jordan. Pray every mystery of the rosary where it happened and walk in the footprints of Mary and Jesus, and let us be your guides.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Ave Maria Mutual Funds does not invest in companies engaged in abortion, pornography, embryonic stem cell research, and those making corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Ave Maria Mutual Funds has a zero-tolerance policy that helps ensure investments align with moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds may be contacted at 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at avemariafunds.com, a proud sponsor of Ave Maria Radio.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. We should always, always, always be continuing our study of Scripture, of our faith, and read the documents from the bishops and the popes and the cardinals, including this latest doctrinal note on the moral limits to technological manipulation of the human body. It was released on March 20th by the Committee on Doctrine of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. It's excellent. It is not difficult to read, and especially for parents and grandparents and those who deal with youth and every single one of us who's now confronted with this issue that just is being shoved at us. There's no other alternative. We have to accept this. We have to agree that this is the best for people. If they feel like they're a girl and they're really a boy by DNA, then they have to switch. And we should be fluid and back and forth, and the body doesn't matter. It's whatever you make it. No, it's not. God is still God, and we are not. And I was just telling Father Mitch during the break, as he's getting ready to join us for our Culture Connection segments today, that this is, Father, there's nothing new under the sun, as it says in Ecclesiastes. We still keep trying to play God differently, maybe in different ways, but we're still trying to do the same thing that happened in the garden so many, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. So your thoughts on this powerful statement from the bishops?
First of all, it really is a wonderful statement, and we need to be so grateful that the bishops are doing this kind of work. It is much needed because there, just last week, President Biden had said that it's almost a sin to oppose gender reassignment therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And the reading of the day had been very clear that, don't add or subtract sins. That includes the president. You can't have presidential decrees about sin, that these are, God is the one who determines what is right and wrong, not presidents. And nor do I, nor you. This is something about the nature of human body. Now, one of the points that this document makes is that the human body has a certain element that is given you. There are certain things you can do to change the human body. And this, oftentimes this is very good. It's necessary surgery. You sometimes have to change the body to get rid of a cancer.
Right.
And a lot of remove an appendix and all sorts of things, because that kind of operation will save the life. You sometimes even have to remove a cancerous limb, like an arm or something. It's horrible, but it has to be done. But then we also have to see that the goal of such surgery or technological manipulation is to help the rest of the body. And as the Hippocratic Oath says, you can do no harm. Now, here's where we come into a problem with this push for sex change operations. People are experiencing gender dysphoria. That means that they don't feel comfortable in their, and they like to use this word, their assigned gender. Gender is not assigned. This is one point of this document.
Right.
You don't assign gender. This is part of a given in the human body.
The whole idea of being assigned is so ridiculous. Assigned by whom? What, a doctor points to you and says, well, you're actually a girl, but I think you're a boy, or a parent says you're a girl. Assigned by whom? What are they talking about? That is so ridiculous, just in the statement itself.
But see, that's exactly what they are, these young people are being told, is that it is assigned to you by a doctor. And they're trying to get doctors to leave the gender part blank. There are propositions for laws that parents and doctors have to wait until the child is old enough to decide which gender they are.
Wow.
Now, this, it sounds, I know you were being a little rhetorical there.
Right.
But actually, it is the issue. And what's going on here is that some of these young children are being told that they have to wait until they're older. And the other problem, I had Dr. Quentin Van Meter. I don't know if you know of him yet. He is absolutely brilliant on this issue. He's an pediatric endocrinologist. He studies precisely the endocrinology of young people and what it is that they need. And he's describing that these so-called gender reassignment therapies, A, do not change your gender. That doesn't happen. Every inch of your, or not every inch, every single cell in one's body remains either double X or XY. That no matter what surgery or what hormonal material you ingest, that never changes in every cell. And that is something that happens at the moment of conception.
Mm-hmm.
That never can change without you. And in fact, even if you die, that doesn't change. Your double X or XY chromosomes will even be in your dead DNA. And that's how sometimes anthropologists can tell if you're a male or female.
Yeah.
So this is an unchangeable element. What they will do is have this surgeries that basically give you different look. But and they'll give different hormone, you know, these puberty blockers,
mm-hmm.
and they'll give hormones of the cross sex, so the other sex. But that cannot change the XY or XX. And why is that important? That it's in puberty that you make this move not only to sexual development, but the development of your whole body. You know, once a girl enters into that stage of life, she'll have usually about another inch of growth, where its puberty stimulates growth in boys. All kinds of other changes and developments of what is already present takes place, and they do this blocking of puberty that prevents development and try to give hormones that...
Father, when we come back, I don't mean to interrupt, but we're going to be cut off by the music and by the satellite break. But I want to talk a little bit also about why all these things the church is saying that we have to understand who we are made in the image and likeness of God and what that does to a person spiritually, physically, and emotionally if we go against it. More with Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTM when we come back.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God, but I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a little lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have, and we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence. And in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
There's a notorious lack of honesty and far too much sentimentality when we discuss race in America. And it doesn't serve anyone very well in the long run. Right now, of course, the political left in America is exploiting the deaths of George Floyd and Walter Scott and others to exaggerate the degree of racism among police departments. And this exaggeration of injustice is what Karl Marx called heightening the contradiction. It was a precursor, not to reform, but to revolution. And it is important, especially for Christians, to see George Floyd as a brother in Christ. Christ died for George Floyd, but he also died for Derek Chauvin. And as I've said before on this program, I do think criminal justice reform is necessary. But my principal job as a Catholic communicator is not politics, but to share biblical truth. Racial injustice results from Christians failing to apply the fundamental truth that we are all created in God's image.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta. 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It is a Thursday morning, 28 minutes past the hour. I'm going to see if Andrew can grab that clip for us. Andrew, I just sent you the link. Jamie Lee Curtis, Father. By the way, we're talking to Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN. Scripture and Tradition, of course, and EWTN Live. He is a scripture scholar and proficient in a dozen languages, an amazing author and speaker on the faith, talking about the things that matter most with our Cultural Connections segment. Continuing our conversation on gender ideology, the bishops putting out a very strong and clear document on Monday regarding really trying to help Catholic medical professionals in terms of what they're facing. So, Father, I was telling you during the break, and I sent Andrew that clip, and Andrew, let me know when it's ready, that Jamie Lee Curtis, who won an Oscar 2 weekends ago, has a son who, quote-unquote, and we know that he really didn't, but you know, he says that he transitioned to becoming a female. Now they call him Ruby. And so after the Oscar, well, she mentions it in her Oscar acceptance speech, her Best Supporting Actress, and then she also talked about it in the talk shows the following day. And what's so dangerous about this, I think, is that now the you could hear the anchors and the hosts of the show saying, oh, that's so sweet, and isn't that wonderful? This adulation, this embracing, this support of what's going on here. So, Andrew, if you have it, let me know when
it's
ready.
It's an 8-minute video, I replied.
Oh, okay. Never mind. But anyway, she was saying, she was talking about the fact that she's calling the Oscars, that the Oscar they, in honor of her, quote-unquote, daughter. And this to me is what's so dangerous when you see this on the daily talk shows and these people in Hollywood just not only accepting something like this but promoting this. Correct?
Yeah, And here's one of the problems. Hollywood people make a living by play acting. They pretend to be something they're not. And in this case, you are dealing with people who are using their sexuality and seeing sex assignment as a change of costume. You just make this superficial change, whereas every actor should know that underneath you can act like a character, but underneath you are you, and you bring that out into the character. The same thing is going to be analogously true. You remain male or female at the cellular level. That cannot change. And here's why this becomes so important. I know I keep emphasizing that, but that's why the church is so concerned about this. People who go through these puberty blockers and the hormonal changes have their life expectancy reduced by half, that their life expectancy becomes 40 instead of 80.
Wow.
And that's because the puberty blockers prevent you developing into the person you're supposed to be. Yourselves are waiting for that development to then kick in a series of other developmental mechanisms. And then the same thing that happens with the addition of other hormones, the hormones of the opposite sex, that this also is not what your body was expecting. It was, every cell was created to expect the hormonal developments of puberty that activate a series of growth and health mechanisms. This cuts off your life. And here's one of the other problems that we have to deal with. The heck with Hollywood. They're unimportant people. What is important is that the teachers are in schools,
right,
are telling students,
pressuring them,
we'll be your real family. You have no more family. They assigned you the wrong gender. I'm helping you to recognize your true gender, and I will, without your parents' knowledge, help you to start this transition. That is happening in schools.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a child cannot even get a tattoo without...
Or take an aspirin, or get their ears pierced, or anything like that. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, gender reassignment is something that teachers are seeking to protect as something they can do. Because, and here's one of the things going on. Children are telling their parents regularly, if you don't do this, I'll commit you. I just kill myself. I can't stay in this gender. I got to change gender. Well, first of all, gender is an issue of grammar. That is not, it's your sex that is what you're trying to change, not your gender. Then they go on to do grammatical changes. But somehow children are being told to tell their parents that they can, you got to do this, you have to give that permission, or else I'll kill myself.
Well, here's the thing, too, Father. Exactly. Where are they getting this? Where are they getting this? They're children. They wouldn't be getting it unless they were exposed to it in some way. You know, from media, from what they're watching on the cell phones. Not to mention what they're getting in the schools and in the education system. But the church is saying in this document, Catholic health care services must employ all appropriate resources to mitigate the suffering of those who struggle with gender incongruence. However, they must respect the fundamental order of the human body, or else the human person will not be helped, but rather be harmed. So this is not about, and this is kind of how I'd like to wrap this up, because I can't believe we only have 3 minutes left. This is what the church always tells us, whether it is about marriage, whether it's about birth control, whether it's about abortion, whether it's about other intrinsic evils, right, in terms of so-called same-sex marriage and these other issues. It is not about God being in the sky trying to squash our fun. It is what Jesus says in the Gospel of John today, regarding Save Us. I say this so that you may be saved. His desire is not to punish us, but to lead us into a deeper relationship with him so that we will want to serve and follow him. The document in the beginning says the only way we are going to be happy, and it reminds us of this, is to accept the will of God, which is always going to be the best plan for our lives.
And I want to emphasize to parents listening to us, your part of your job is to get to your student, your children, way before they go to school, and any of these folks can get a hold of them. And you let them know, I cherish having you as my daughter. I cherish having you as my son. And God created you this way from the moment of your conception. And let's work with the way the Lord has made you, and so you can develop into the young man and young woman that is there to serve God and the rest of humanity. In so many subtle ways, parents have to be preparing their children before people with an ideology that will shorten their life by half or raise up their likelihood of suicide by 20 times the general population. That's a study that was done in Sweden. And that's why the European countries have stopped allowing this in children.
Right. Amen.
And
Father,
so
thank you.
This is life and death.
It's life and death. It's life and death physically, and it's life and death spiritually and emotionally. Father, thank you so much. Please, we'll put a link to the document from the bishops on our archive section for Catholic Connection. More on this discussion with the Christ Medicus Foundation and Lewis Brown, the executive director. This is a huge topic that we need to address and look at from a truly Catholic perspective. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God, but I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have, and we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence. And in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
When families create daily rituals for playing together, they don't just prioritize creating a joyful family life, they're building a holy family life too. Playing board games and card games, having family movie nights, taking short walks or hikes, shooting hoop, playing catch, doing crafts, and other similar activities aren't just healthy ways families have fun, they're ways Catholic families can teach healthy attitudes toward play. In a world where fun is often equated with sinful or destructive behaviors, family play rituals help parents teach kids healthy, godly ways to enjoy themselves. That's one reason family rituals for playing together are such an important part of Catholic family life. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
He's telling us all these things because he loves us, not because, again, he's some mean ogre in the sky who wants to squash our fun. And yet the Catholic Church and her teachings, especially when it comes to the issue of sexuality, always portrayed, well, I wouldn't say always, 9 times out of 10, I mean a lot, a majority of the time in the culture and in the news media, portrayed as being backward and oppressive and mean and restrictive and, you know, even sinful, according to the quote-unquote devout Catholic president who is speaking out and saying, and I say devout, that's what he calls himself, that the new laws down in Florida, for example, regarding this whole conditioning of children, well, those are sinful. which means what he's saying, and those were very specific words he chose or were chosen for him to say, because he wants to put it out there, even though he claims that he's a devout Catholic, that the church is sinful, what they're doing here, that truth is sinful, that the human body, made in the image and likeness of God, male and female, sinful. That's wrong. That's sinful to do that. Anyway, we're talking about the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and their Committee on Doctrine issuing a very clear and powerful statement earlier this week, providing moral criteria to Catholic healthcare institutions for discerning which medical interventions promote the authentic good of the human person. Okay, so it's a very good document. It's on the homepage of the USCCB. You can go right there, usccb.org. It's on the right-hand side. On the phone with me is someone who knows all about what the medical community is facing and others who are very concerned about, really, their rights being restricted and religious freedom being affected because of what's going on with this issue and abortion issues. Our friend Lewis Brown from CMF Curo, he's the executive director. And Lewis, I think the document is excellent. I think it does a great job of giving us background and talking about how it's one thing to help someone if they have an illness and that surgery needs to be used to cure that illness. It's another thing to try and quote-unquote change your entire physical identity, which we know in the genes is impossible, but mutilating the body in order to do something that is contrary to the human person. First of all, your thoughts on this document that came out on Monday, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I think that this document from the U.S. Bishops Committee on Doctrine is very important, urgently needed, and expresses the reality of the beauty of human dignity and the goodness of the human body that is united in soul and in our bodily reality. And so it is so needed now because it's first an articulation of the scientific, genetic, biological reality of our humanity, in part in our body, in part in our soul, but it's also a rejection of a growing hostility towards the body, seeking to alter what does not need to be altered, seeking to alter what is actually good, what is functioning, what is right, and what is beautiful in our humanity. And so, I think that this document is so needed. It's the clarity that the church should provide on issues of human sexuality and a clear rejection of a gender ideology that at its core seeks to reject the goodness of human dignity.
In terms of what you're seeing with medical professionals and organizations, Lewis, how bad is it in terms of what they're seeing and what they're being pressured to do and accept?
I think what we've seen for the last five to 7 years is a attempt within the healthcare industry, within parts of the medical community, to normalize transgender procedures, to normalize gender ideology within our healthcare system. You've also seen an increasing rejection of that normalization of transgender procedures by the medical community, by the legal community, and also by people who have attempted to do so-called transitions themselves and are now detransitioning. And I think some of the most powerful voices, Teresa, on this issue are people who have gone through certain chemical and surgical procedures to attempt to do what can't be done, really, is to transition from male to female or female to male. And have painfully come to regret the gender transitioning process, have painfully come to regret the ways that they've altered their body, and have been increasingly speaking out that they weren't really informed about the reality of what they were getting themselves into, and have warned against normalizing this in our culture, in our medical community, and in our nation. So I think that there's a growing openness to the reality of the damage that transgender procedures can do, not only to adolescents and teenagers, but also to adults. And the science just isn't there. I think if you look at the medical outcomes, this is why Europe is increasingly pushing back. If you look at the medical outcomes regardless of one's faith belief, just on a purely scientific, biological, genetic level, the gender ideology and applying that into medicine, it doesn't make sense. It leads to unethical, horrific, harmful outcomes for patients, and it pulls against the principle of doing no harm to patients, which is what our medical community, our medical system is based on.
How helpful is it for members of the medical community to have something like this? I mean, morally, it must be a nice, and spiritually, it must be a nice shot in the arm for them to read this and to be encouraged by their bishops. But can this be taken, and can anything be done with this in terms of, again, presenting it to people in authority at various institutions, say, and to affirm that this is definitely against their faith, that they can't be involved in something like so-called transitioning surgeries?
Right. I think this document's important because we see the U.S. bishops speaking with a moral and ethical clarity about, A, the goodness of the human body, how our humanity is united in body and soul, and seeking to defend against attacks on the dignity of the human person. That's fundamentally what this document is a beautiful expression of human dignity and the existence, the reality of the existence of the human person, and a rejection of attacks on that human dignity, a rejection of attacks on the goodness of the human body, united in body and soul. And so I think it's very important. Number one, it speaks with clarity about what the church teaches. Number two, it will inform Catholic medical professionals and Catholic healthcare entities about how to approach these challenging issues. And number three, I think it will influence not only Catholics, Christians, people of faith, but also medical professionals of goodwill who are looking for ethical guidance on these issues.
I really think, in addition, obviously, to folks like yourself and others who deal with issues from a medical professional perspective, healthcare organizations. By the way, we're talking with Lewis Brown from CMF Curo, the president of Christ Medicus Foundation. I really think it's important for every single Christian and Catholic or anyone who's concerned about this issue to read the document.
No, I agree. I think it's absolutely beautiful. This is the thing, is that clarity and truth from the church reflect God's healing plan,
right,
for human sexuality. And that's what we see embedded within the document. I think so often there's a temptation from for us as Catholics and a clear desire for, you know, the secular world to depict Catholic social teaching as this massive no to freedom and liberation and all of these other supposed desirables. The reality is that God's plan for human sexuality leads to
happiness, fulfillment.
The deepest love possible, the deepest fulfillment possible, and healing and liberation. And that's what we see embedded within the document, that we have an obligation as Catholic medical professionals, as Catholic lawyers, as Catholic families to protect the goodness and the dignity of the human body and God's plan for human sexuality, which all people of faith or goodwill have access to in their heart. And we also have an obligation to reject those things which seek to attack and fundamentally alter the goodness of the human body, such as transgender procedures that are harmful to the human person, that lead to horrible outcomes. And we see that in research study after research study, particularly coming out of Europe. So I think everyone should read this document. The National Catholic Bioethics Center also came out with a great statement. We eventually will as well. But this is something we've waited for a long time for within the Catholic healthcare world, and we're so happy that it's here with us today.
So what are some of the Catholic professionals saying about this? What kind of feedback have you heard, Lewis?
I think the National Catholic Bioethics Center, which is chaired by, you know, which is led by Joseph Meany, has put out a wonderful statement about the importance of this. I think, you know, this is just kind of coming out, but more and more Catholic doctors will be speaking about it. Our Catholic Healthcare Leadership Alliance, I'm sure, will be talking about it. The bishops will be speaking about it. But there has been a gap, I think, within the church in the United States on speaking with a unified voice about these issues. Thankfully, mm-hmm. Pope Francis has been very specific and very direct about the dangers of gender ideology, which he's articulated as a form of cultural colonialism that does grave harm to families and to children and to adults, etc. So we've had that clarity out of Pope Francis, but it's beautiful to see the bishops speak with this, and I think you'll increasingly over the days and weeks ahead see medical professionals, healthcare entities, Catholic healthcare entities come out in support of this beautiful document that affirms the human body and the goodness of human sexuality and rejects attacks on that dignity and attacks on the beauty of the human body.
If I remember correctly, the Pope just did on his 10th anniversary a big interview with an Argentinian newspaper and came out again with some very strong statements about which you just referred regarding the ideology with the transgender movement. And so he's been extremely clear about that, and also abortion, calling abortion akin to hiring a hitman. And so these are the types of statements I think that we can take and pray over and also use in discussions with people as to why the church teaches what she teaches, and encouraging people, which we all have to do in our own continuing education as Catholics, to go deeper.
That's right, because I think there's a lot of misconceptions around this, and I think the misconceptions, the deceptions about what the church teaches, about what's good for patients and for families, what that does is ultimately it obscures the beautiful healing reality of love, of the love of the human body, and a love for people that may be experiencing gender confusion, that may be experiencing gender dysphoria. Our ultimate obligation for every single person in our country is to love them, is accompany them, and support them, but in the truth and the goodness of who they are. And so this document to me is a massive affirmation, whether someone is gender confused or experiencing gender dysphoria, it's an affirmation of their goodness and their dignity as creations of God, and a call to accompany, serve, and help folks that are struggling with gender confusion, that are struggling with gender dysphoria, to achieve healing and liberation out of an acceptance of the beauty and the goodness of who they have been created to be by God. And so we need that today. I also want to reference people to a beautiful book, Be Transformed, by Dr. Bob Schutz, which is something that I think will solicit even greater compassion for people that are experiencing gender dysphoria or gender confusion, and just shows, again, articulates the beauty of God's healing love for all people through the goodness of His Catholic Church.
Amen. Lewis, always great to catch up with you. How do people find out more information about your ministry and your organization's great work?
CMFcuro.org. It's a growing Catholic healthcare community that is serving the needs, the medical needs of individuals, and bringing them into greater whole person wellness through Jesus Christ. CMFcuro.org.
Lewis, thanks so much. You have a blessed weekend. Appreciate all that you do. CMFcuro.org. It is a Thursday morning. Wow, this hour went by quickly. It happens when you have great, very well-informed guests such as Lewis and Father Mitch Pacwa on this hugely important topic that we're facing in the Catholic Church and in the world. When we come back, we will let you know it's coming up on a Friday morning. Can't believe we're moving into Friday already. You are listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you're a new listener, welcome. Thanks for listening. You can find out more information, EWTN.com. This show is also co-produced by Ave Maria Radio, so check out AveMariaRadio.net. It is a Friday, or it's a Thursday, moving into a Friday, and we'll let you know what's coming up on the program in just about 2 minutes. Stay tuned.
Save the date. Saturday, August 26th is the day, and Birmingham, Alabama is the place for the 2023 EWTN Family Celebration. We're celebrating Mother Angelica's love for the Eucharist, and join us to mark the centennial year of Mother's birth. Make your plans now to attend this free event. More details coming soon at our Family Celebration webpage, EWTN.com/Family Celebration.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins.
More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. It's not too late to join the Catholic Home 40 Days for Families Lenten Challenge. Lent calls us to do more to share God's love with others, and the best place to start doing that is in our families. Go to CatholicHOM.com to download the premium version of the Catholic Home app. Use promo code AVE, A-V-E, for 50% off the first month. And discover how God wants to transform your family life this Lent with the 40 Days for Families Challenge at CatholicHOM.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Minutes past the hour of Thursday, March 23rd. Moving quickly into the Friday, the end of the week, tomorrow. As always, Doug Keck with our Inside Word, giving you a great view of what's coming up on the network in the next few days, so you can jot it down and not miss a thing. We're also going to be taking a look at Renewed and Received from Ascension Press, all about confession and First Communion. We'll talk with Mark Hart tomorrow. Adomani. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.